again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 181. This is the podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. And a special thanks to our lead sponsor for 2015, the California Cut Flower Commission, committed to making a difference as an advocate for American-grown flowers. Learn more at ccfc.org. After the crazy week of Valentine's Day, I'm shifting my thoughts to springtime, aren't you? That's a little easier for me to say here in Seattle, where the thermometers climbed above 60 degrees last week, and flowers are popping up everywhere. But someone reminded me today that spring is only 30 days away, so hold on, everyone, it's coming. The Slow Flowers movement and slowflowers.com attracted major media attention last week on wire services, television, radio, print, and blogs. I am so grateful for the attention that is turning to American flowers, the passionate farmers who grow our favorite varieties, and the talented designers who create magic with each local and seasonal item they choose. Here's a sampling of some of the headlines we saw last week. Slow Flowers Movement pushes local, U.S.-grown cut flowers. That story was written by Associated Press agriculture reporter Marjorie Beck, and it literally went viral, appearing in media outlets large and small, from the Los Angeles Times and Chicago Tribune to abcnews.com. Slow Flowers member Megan Hurd of Farmstead Flowers in Bruning, Nebraska, was also featured in this piece. Slow Flowers Movement champions sustainable blooms by Indiana Public Radio's Sarah Fentum. Slowflowers.com member Harvest Moonflower Farm of Spencer, Indiana was featured in that piece. About those flowers you're buying today, where do they come from? Ask Oregon growers. An article by Janet Eastman of The Oregonian. Slowflowers.com member Oregon Flowers was also featured in this story. Just in time for Valentine's Day, introducing Farm to Table's Pretty Flowering Cousin, written by Sarah McCall on the sustainability blog TakePart.com, which also featured Molly Culver of Molly Oliver Flowers in Brooklyn, a slowflowers.com member. Denver Post reporter Elizabeth Hernandez wrote, "Colorado farmers, florists seek renaissance for local flower scene," featuring slowflowers.com member Chet Anderson of the Fresh Herb Company. And Reuters writer P.J. Huffstutter's piece, "Exotic U.S. Blooms Flourish Amid Roses in Cupid's Bouquet," featuring the Slow Flowers Movement as well as the California Cut Flower Commission and the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, was our last Valentine's Day gift that ran on February 13th. I can't even tally the tens of thousands of impressions that came from this great media coverage, but suffice it to say that it was big. According to Casey Cronquist, CEO and ambassador of the CCFC, he wrote this in a newsletter today. "In my tenure at the commission, I can confidently say that this past week of media attention and interest was greater than all of my other years in doing interviews and monitoring Valentine's Day coverage. I can also quickly point to three things that made the difference this year. Number one, Deborah Prinzing, slowflowers.com. Well, that's pretty cool. Number two, the launch of Certified American Grown. And you'll hear more about that throughout this coming year. We've already reported on its launch last summer. And number three, I think this is the most important, increasing awareness of caring consumers, designers, and buyers. On top of all that excitement, I want to celebrate a major milestone. This week marks the addition of our 500th member to the slowflowers.com website. Please join me in welcoming Shelley DeYoung of Homegrown Flowers in Linden, Washington. Shelley's tagline is "Flowers as fresh and local as possible," and she specializes in ball jar bouquets delivered to customers in her community throughout the year and for special occasions. Welcome to slowflowers.com, Shelley. We can already feel that 2015 might be the year when the story of American-grown flowers hits an all-important inflection point. As we witness a critical shift in consumer mindsets at the cash register, I believe we'll also see a change, in a good way, in the behavior of wholesalers and retailers who make those important flower sourcing decisions. One of the things I'm most excited about this year is a series of flower farm dinners that celebrate American-grown flowers, as well as the farms and florists who bring them to life. To hear more about this cool project, which is called the Field to Vase Dinner Tour, I've asked Kathleen Williford to share some details. I'm so excited to have my friend Kathleen Williford on the line with me today. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm great. And you are, we are speaking by Skype because you are in the Santa Cruz area.
Yes.
What town do you live in?
I live in Capitola.
Okay. Beautiful Capitola by the beach.
Yes.
Well, we're here to talk today about the Field to Vase Dinner Tour. And you are the event manager and floral designer for the California Cut Flower Commission. And you're intimately involved with this tour, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't you tell the listeners what the Field to Vase Dinner Tour is, because it's a new program.
It is. It is. The Field to Vase Dinner Tour is a farm-to-table dining experience that is set on an American cut flower farm or greenhouse.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds great already. You've got me sold.
Yeah, so what we want to do is connect the dots. You know, I think consumers are very well aware and demand their food or their ingredients be American grown or know where it's coming from. And we celebrate our local food, our local wine, and we want to bring flowers to that conversation. Let's celebrate local flowers.
That's cool. And you and I have had many conversations about this because we want our flowers to be at the center of the table and not something that is from another continent when we're dining on our farm-to-table dinner, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Celebrate the American farmer.
Kathleen, what inspired the idea to take the Field to Vase Dinner Tour across the country?
Well, we have had a few of these dinners previously on a smaller scale, and they were just so well received. Our guests left excited, enlightened, and educated, and it was just the perfect opportunity to emotionally connect that message direct with people. So I think this is a perfect opportunity to connect the dots with the consumer by inviting the public onto these farms and talking about the importance of supporting your flower farmer.
I love it. And so the first dinner in the series is happening pretty soon in Carpinteria, right?
Yes, it's happening in Carpinteria on March 5th. It'll be at Westland Orchids in Carpinteria. And we have a wonderful floral designer, Margaret Lloyd of Margaret Joan Floral, and a great farm-to-table chef, Denise Salinas of Le Petit Chef in Santa Barbara.
So the food and the flowers at this table are going to be hyper-local,
yes.
And that's part of the celebration, right?
Exactly, exactly. I know one dinner we had, you know, all our ingredients sourced really from Santa Cruz County. Is that realistic to do all the time? No, but we definitely will have the ingredients sourced from California.
Well, that's fantastic. And American wine and local craft beer and
yes,
then flowers that Margaret will design drawing from Westland Orchids, but other local farms as well, right?
Yes, yes. So this is also an opportunity to promote the Carpinteria Greenhouse and Nursery Tour. So we will be sourcing flowers from those participating farms as well.
Okay, and that's later in March, is that correct?
That's actually in April.
April 18th. Okay, great. Well, what we'll do is for sure put the link that you mentioned, the AmericanGrownFlowers.org link, as well as specific links to the dinner tour and the greenhouse tour you mentioned.
Yes.
What are some of the other cities that this is going to?
We will be in Carlsbad in April. We're hoping to be in Orlando in May. I think that'll be fun and exciting. We're coming to Portland, Seattle, Brooklyn, Fallbrook, Monterey.
And I think we're hoping to do D.C., right?
That's right. That's right. Wow. Washington, D.C.
That's exciting. So, and I'm saying we because I know I'm working with you on this, and I'm part of this team that is bringing this dinner tour to life, and it's so much fun to work with you, Kathleen. I think we are going to really deserve that meal when we finally get to sit down and eat it, right?
That's right. And we'll toast each other.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I've got some exciting news. If you go to DeborahPrinzing.com, as I said, you'll find the special links, but you will also find a special promotion code that listeners of this podcast can use for a discount when they purchase their tickets, either to the Carpinteria dinner on March 5th or at future venues around the country throughout the year. And that's our way of saying thanks to the Slow Flowers community, because Kathleen is making it a big priority to work with members of the slowflowers.com website to select her guest designers. And I really appreciate that, because you're showcasing the design talents of artists who celebrate and promote American flowers and domestic flowers in their work.
Exactly. Exactly. It's my passion. And I really thank you, Deborah, for forming the Slow Flowers community and have this talent pool that an event manager and fellow floral designer can pull from throughout the country.
It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
I'm so glad I could get your voice on this call, because the dinner's coming up in 3 weeks, and we want to let people know if you're in the Southern California area, anywhere from, LA to Santa Barbara, you're definitely close by and you can make it. And we've known in the past that people have traveled distances to come to these pop-up dinners. So we might be surprised to get some folks from even further away.
That would be great.
Great. Well, thank you, Kathleen. Thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you, Deborah. I look forward to seeing you.
As I mentioned, to find more details about the 2015 Field to Vase Dinner Tour and to take part as a guest at one or more of these flower farm venues, check out photos and links at DeborahPrinzing.com. The promo code for a $25 discount is DREAM, DREAM, so be sure to use it when you order your seat at the flower-laden table. And speaking of being flower laden, our featured guest today has flowers on her brain in a big way. I'm so pleased to introduce you to Lisa Wadd of Pot and Box, a flower shop and floral and event studio with two Michigan locations, in Detroit and in Ann Arbor. Lisa is a member of SlowFlowers.com. I think we originally met when Jill Rizzo of San Francisco-based Studio Chu suggested to Lisa that she reach out and tell me about her ambitious project called The Flower House. Here's the scoop. Beginning over the first weekend of May, Lisa will host a preview event for an innovative art installation in Detroit. There, potential sponsors, partners, friends, and volunteers will get a whiff of the big project on a small scale. In a tiny storefront, Lisa and her colleagues will install a breathtaking floral installation just next door to a once-abandoned urban property where ultimately the big project, the Flower House, will take place. The Flower House is an 11-room duplex, and Lisa's hoping that the kickoff will work her future audience into a floral frenzy. I think that's cute. Later, when October 16th through 18th arrives, cutting-edge florists from Michigan and across the country will fill the walls and ceilings of an abandoned Detroit house using American-grown fresh flowers and living plants for a weekend installation. The project will be featured in local, national, and worldwide media for innovation in floral design and repurposing forgotten structures in the city of Detroit. Lisa hopes that visitors will enjoy everything from an opening reception, a weekend of exploration, and some special private events, perhaps even letting couples hold their wedding ceremonies in the Flower House. When the installation weekend has passed, the structures on the Flower House property will be responsibly deconstructed and their materials repurposed. The land will be converted into a flower farm and design education center on that formerly neglected property. So please welcome Lisa Wadd as she tells us more about this cool project.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers podcast. I'm on the line with Lisa Wadd of Pot and Box, and Lisa is based in Ann Arbor and Detroit, and welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to connect. We had a chat a couple weeks ago, and little did you know I was scheming to get you on the podcast, and it's terrific. Lisa, give me a little a sense of your business. How long have you had the business Pot and Box, which is a retail floral and special events business, right?
Mm-hmm. It sure is. We founded the business in 2007, and I branded it Pot and Box as a container garden business. We plant pots and boxes, as you may well guess, and I've been gardening for many, many years in many capacities. And sometimes when you are a gardener, I've heard this from other gardeners, people ask you to do their wedding flowers. And so,
well, she knows something about plants, so they're involved, right?
Right. So I started saying yes, and I started saying, don't be mad at me if things wilt, because this is totally different than gardening.
Right.
And so, the business shifted a little. We were doing some gardening and some fresh flower design. And, you know, since founding that and introducing the fresh flowers into the mix, it kind of fluctuates with the market and with what people want more of. And so that those two services, plus a lot of indoor horticultural services, green walls and, you know, indoor houseplants and that kind of thing for restaurants and residences. And so we kind of offer, well, I guess really anything that anyone wants us to do.
Right. And when you say we, do you have a business partner?
I have a wonderful manager of the Ann Arbor store. She and I have been working together for, I want to say 6 or 7 years now. So I do say we.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Her name is Catherine Yeath, and she is amazing.
Well, that's so interesting that you're probably getting a lot of economies of scale running the business in two different markets, because Ann Arbor is not a suburb of Detroit. It's a couple hours away, right?
It's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic.
Okay.
I traveled around a little. I'm originally from Michigan, but I traveled around a little, including living out in Portland, Oregon, and Olympia, Washington. I went to school at the Evergreen State College.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom, a little moth in your toes.
Yes. You know, I remember gardening on Christmas Day one year and thinking, what have I been doing in Michigan this whole time? But eventually, you know, I'm a Michigander, so I came home to try to make it through these winters. And when I moved back, I moved to Ann Arbor, thinking that, you know, I grew up in a small town, and I was like, okay, I'm going to move to a city. And I realized after a few years of living there, Ann Arbor is a small town with a giant university, University of Michigan.
Yes.
And they kind of cohabitate together. And so, sorry, you can probably hear my dog barking in the background.
We hear dogs a lot. This podcast includes a lot of dogs. That's okay.
You migrated to
Detroit.
Yep, launched a business in Ann Arbor, built it there. Catherine started working with me, and really when I started to get the inkling that I wanted to move over to Detroit and expand there, I couldn't have done it without her. So she's really stepped up. You know, when I come over to the Ann Arbor studio, she's like, don't make a mess. This is my studio. Get out of here. So it's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really good kind of context for what you're going to do next. And I guess what I didn't really understand is that you have this background in landscape design and gardening, which is more, you know, the scale is bigger than a vase of flowers, obviously. So it sounds like you can scale up or down depending on the project using plants and flowers and, you know, inspired by nature. that the pieces I've seen of yours that you've posted on your Facebook page, you do like some special events for corporate clients that are really amazing. And so you almost become an event designer, it looks like.
Yes, I love big, strange projects. I love working on something in an airplane hangar right now, and I welcome anything new and different. So I think I do, now that you say that, I do pull on a lot of that garden design background of mine.
Yeah, the dimensional design. I think you know how to think in that three-dimensional scale. And that kind of is our little segue to this project you've got cooking called Flower House. And I think maybe almost a year ago, you reached out to me because Jill Rizzo at Studio Chew in San Francisco had maybe just suggested you get in touch about this project. And I was delighted to, I guess, be in the loop of people who receive your emails. I haven't contributed anything in terms of, you know, help at all, but I'm just happy to know about it. And I'm getting so excited now that you're really putting wheels on this and moving it forward. So can you describe what this project is and how you got to the place you are now ready to announce this creative endeavor called the Flower House?
Yes, certainly. And firstly, before I get into that, I do want to say that you have been extremely helpful. You know, I listen to your podcast all the time, and you really have given me a couple really great conversations and a lot of really good ideas. So I appreciate that. And so Flower House, let's see here. I guess maybe I'll do a little teasing with how I was inspired for this project, and then then I'll give you the meat and let you know what it actually is.
Okay, good.
The inspiration, I can remember the moment I had the idea. I was looking at images from the 2012 Fall-Winter Dior show with the floor-to-ceiling flower walls, and I watched the installation video, and I could feel, you know, something bubbling, and I remember this image of this beautiful model in a gorgeous gown, and she is just looking like she's having this, like, breathtaking moment. And I remember thinking, I wonder what that feels like to be in that room, in that structure. Like, what? Not only what does it look like, what does it feel like, but what does it smell like, and what does it sound like? You know, is it, are those flowers absorbing the sound? And I really had to be there. I wanted to create something like that, and so I could experience it, and so other people could experience it. And as I was kind of fleshing out this idea of how do I do that, like what, you know, how do I create something like that? I certainly don't have Dior budgets and Dior connections, so I was reminded of the first time I read and saw images of Christo's project when he wrapped the bridge in Paris, the Pont Neuf bridge.
Right, with textiles.
With gorgeous gold fabric. Yeah. And I can remember thinking, not only why did he do that, because I think that's the first question people ask when you do something absurd like that, but I remember thinking, how can I do something like that? And so I think, you know, it was kind of a long time coming, and then I saw these images, and I thought, that's how I'm going to do it. And
let's just stop for a minute and describe it. So the Dior fashion show in Paris or whatever had these walls and ceilings encased in cut flowers that created this magical environment you're describing that the models would walk through. Is that, I've seen the pictures online. Okay.
Yep. Every room was different, really high ceilings. One room was all white phalaenopsis orchids. Another room was kind of more wildflowery with yellow solidago. And it was just astonishing. Every once in a while, I just click over and look through some of the blog posts about it. And it's just one of those things that it really stuck with me.
Wow. And how brazen of you to think, I can do my own interpretation of it. I love it, Lisa.
Yes. I guess that would be one word to describe it.
Or no one has told you no. You're moving right ahead, right?
We'll keep saying they'll help me. So, So what the project has turned into is I want to fill, you know, something of that same size with fresh flowers and plants, each room being different, and you kind of explore and smell it and see it and just really, you know, this experience.
Wow.
So as I was thinking, all right, you know, what am I thinking? Like, how is this going to work? I went to the Contemporary Art Museum and said, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? And what we thought I could do, what I could accomplish as one person, as one florist, is maybe I would go get a little, like a little shed kit, and I would build a little shed, and it would be in the, you know, in the museum, and I could fill the inside with flowers, you know, for my garden, and you'd walk through and go, ooh, that was pretty. But it didn't feel complete to me. I kept thinking back, the look on that model's face, just this, you know, you're being totally captured, kind of like hijacked into this moment. And so I explored what kind of a structure could I do this in. And I'm sure you've heard we have plenty of abandoned houses in Detroit, and people are always trying to do creative new things with them. And so I thought, that's what we'll do. We'll fill one of these houses. So wow. I talked to some friends who had one of those houses, and I was totally smitten, and I had it all pictured in my head, but I didn't realize that someone else had it all pictured in their head to renovate it and fix it up to live in it. So I had a taste of what, you know, I had this vision of how this house could be with these multiple rooms and kind of this, you know, you're experiencing the whole floor plan.
Wow, you like kind of transported on this pathway from room to room and
right,
getting
right.
deeper into the wonderland that is.
Yes. So kind of just a, you know, something I heard about. I went to a city auction for the city of Hamtramck, which is a small city within the city limits of Detroit. I went to an auction at City Hall. It was a whole list of empty properties. And then at the end, it was, they had two houses for sale. I got both of them for $250 each, and then I drove over to see what flower house was going to be.
I cannot even fathom this. That is crazy. So the city of Detroit ended up with these properties because of all kinds of things that happened with the troubles in the city where people were abandoning houses, or people were getting foreclosed on, or banks were taking back houses, and somehow the city got loaded up with them. Or is that? And this has been going on for like a decade.
They reverted back to the city. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, you know, afterwards, everyone that was at the auction was coming up to me like, "Why did you buy those? Why did you buy those?" And so suddenly, I should tell people about my weird artistic vision. But. So we have these two houses now, and what we'll do is the one on the left is a really interesting house. It has a little commercial storefront, and it was a law office, and then the family lives behind.
Wow.
And so in May, we're going to transform that front kind of commercial storefront into this little sneak peek of what we'll do in the fall in the house on the right, which has, drum roll, 17 rooms.
Oh my God. So what is the square footage? Was that a single family home?
It's a duplex. So, you know, same floor plan repeated, you know, one on the first floor and one on the second floor.
Okay. Wow.
A big giant basement, nice big attic, you know, four porches kind of thing. So, it's really exciting.
I am so in awe of this project, and I know that people are going to hear this and think, I've got to get involved, because this is going to be like Christo wrapping the bridges. I mean, it could be that impactful to
get people
talking.
You just gave me goosebumps.
What'd you say?
You just gave me goosebumps.
Well, I just think it's oh my God, it's just, your mind is dreaming up something that somehow is, when you speak about it, it's I know my reaction, and it sounds like the people in your community that you've met through this process are also get it and also say, it's crazy, but we want to help you. And it's just a matter of money and time, right, and extra labor. That's really the gritty part.
Yes. I already have, I think, a dozen florist partners. People are picking rooms and sending me ideas that are so exciting. They're so glow. I just feel so lucky that people, you know, get the vision, and it's a, you know, it's a, this crazy fun project to work on together. And so it is just wild.
Wow. So, you've got, and you're going to share the links with me for my show notes, but you have a website up, and mm-hmm. you kind of walk people through that process of how you found this house, what it actually looks like now, and then some of the concepts for where it's going. You originally were thinking about doing it spring, but now because of some people getting involved and the timeline, you're going to bump it out to fall, which I think is a great idea because there's so much beautiful product available in late, you know, September and October in terms of cut flowers you can access.
Yes.
Dahlias. Exactly. And, oh, gosh, every field crop you can imagine.
Right.
So you don't have an exact date, but people can come to the website and get information, right?
Yep. It's looking like mid-October.
Great.
You know, we won't be freezing yet in Michigan, but it'll be cold enough so kind of hold them like they're in a dry cooler of their
yes.
own. So.
Yeah, you don't want the summer sun beating down on those poor little blooms, because you're envisioning having the flower house open to the public and for people to come in and tour for a few days, but also using it for private events for your sponsors and other kind of aspects.
Yes. We'll have a few days for install, and then we'll have a ribbon cutting party, and then it'll be open for a weekend for people to come and explore, and we'll have a few kind of, whether it's weddings or someone who wants to do some photography there, we'll have a few opportunities for people
sure.
to, you know, come in the morning or the evening and that kind of thing. So,
fabulous.
Yep. It's pretty exciting.
Okay, so we've talked about what you're envisioning, and you've mentioned there's about 12 florists involved. I remember when we spoke a couple weeks ago, you described one possibility of having each room being kind of owned by a different designer who would create sort of a individual concept for that room so that they're all going to have their own experiences as people walk through. Is that still what you're thinking about?
Yep, exactly. I really, you know, I will make sure the kind of the overall kind of feel of the house is cohesive. But,
right.
you know, I'm joking around that it takes a village to raise a flower house, and I certainly can't do this by myself. And so as soon as I said, you know what, let's find other people who want to do this with me, and then, you know, that becomes the room. And so
sure.
just I was thinking each room will have a different designer, and then, you know, we'll all just kind of get it done that week. You know, like, oh, do you need some help in your room? And, like, you know, we'll get that chicken wire up and get those dahlias in. So
yeah, exactly. Like Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney putting on a show. You're just going to be these can-do peeps. And I know that you've got designers involved, but you're obviously going to have to get flower farmers involved who can help you with the quantities that you're going to need of cut flowers. And plants,
exactly.
Like some yep. nursery growers, too.
Yes, exactly. We have committed the project to being all American-grown fresh flowers and plants. And that was one other reason why I grudgingly at first agreed to push the installation another 6 months, because just there is so much available in the fall as opposed
yeah.
to spring. And just with the timeline, I didn't want to, you know, ask for favors and like, oh, I need those next week, by the way.
I also, right,
yep.
and with May and Mother's Day and weddings,
you're
not going to have maybe the availability of things that, because you're competing for every stem. And
exactly.
I think this is going to build, Lisa. This is so, just, you know, people will, if they haven't heard about it, I think they're going to just go crazy listening to your descriptions and want to get involved. And you're kind of a, I don't know, you're kind of like a Pied Piper now. People are going to follow you down this path. And it's a lot of work. And I'm wondering, do you have weddings booked this summer and other projects that are going to take up your time? Or are you trying to clear your deck so you can focus on the flower house?
I have a few weddings, but I've been very careful. You know, I've been planning this for a while, so I've been very careful about scheduling as far as events and that kind of thing. This really, I mean, this could be full time and a half to plan. So,
and no one's paying you to do this, Lisa. So how are you going to get the funding going? I want to make sure, I'm worried about you. You can't eat Top Ramen all summer.
Thank you for reminding me to talk about that. Well, one of the things that we'll be doing in May is inviting any interested florists or interested sponsors to come and take a look at what we'll do on a bigger scale. And that'll really kick off also, we'll do a crowdfunding campaign to raise some bucks to, you know, get those flowers in there, buy rolls of chicken wire, have security, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Wow. That's
there's just so much I wasn't thinking of. I was like, oh, we'll fill a house with flowers. It'll be great. And like, did you think about a generator? Did you think about this kind of stuff? So so it's not an inexpensive project. So, yep,
no.
There'll be some fundraising, certainly.
Mm-hmm. So right now, if we post at DeborahPrinzing.com, if we post a link to your website, there is a way for people to sign up for future notices, right?
Yep, if you go to the website is theflower.house. And that's the suffix. It's not .com. It's just theflower.house. You know, we're putting more and more information on there every day. I'll either have information there or on the Facebook and Twitter and that kind of thing. So
perfect. Oh, perfect. So
yep.
People can really track and offer, what they can contribute, by reaching out to you through that link.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, if anything, you know, I want florists to come and be inspired and come help out and do installation. And of course I would love, you know, sponsors so we can really do this up world class. But I also want people to really come and experience this, you know, again with Christo, I remember a friend of mine was in school in Los Angeles and he said, oh, I'm going to New York this weekend. There's, you know, Christo did this orange flag thing in Central Park. And I remember thinking, wow, he's really just flying across the country to go see this crazy exhibition. And now
right.
I get it.
Yep.
So,
exactly.
So
it's
I
fabulous.
Really want people to come and experience this.
Oh, I think it's just magical. And before we close, I know that you've alluded to the fact that you own this property. So what are your long-term plans for after the flower house, you know, unveiling, and after the public visits are over and you've had to put all those flowers into the compost bin. What's next after that?
Thank you again. There's so many parts to this story that sometimes I forget some of the best stuff. So when we're done with flower house, we're going to responsibly deconstruct these houses, pull out all the good wood and the good glass and that kind of thing. And, you know, reaper bed somewhere else. Maybe it's a fence or something on the property, but that property will become a flower farm for Pot and Box and, you know, any of, you know, the local florists who need one more Cafe Olay Dahlia for their wedding this weekend and that kind of thing. But Catherine and I are so excited. We've set a goal that for 2017, which is our 10-year anniversary of being in business, that we would really like to go 100%, you know, locally grown. And if we can't grow it ourselves or get it, you know, from farmers that we know in the region to, you know, source only from our wholesalers through American grown flowers or
wow.
American grown farms. So
sure.
That, again, it gives me goosebumps. It's just so exciting.
Did you say, you know, you said that's going to be 2016 or 2017?
2017, I
okay.
think we can have the
yeah.
farm producing enough so then we can do all of our weddings from the farm or local growers.
Fantastic. And did you say, I don't know, somewhere in the back of my mind I was thinking 3 acres, but that can't be right. What is the actual, these two homes are adjacent on one connected lot, correct, or two lots that are connected?
Yes.
Or Okay.
You know, I'm kind of bad with square footage. It might be about 2 acres.
Okay, wow. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. Well, I am so excited about this for you, and just because this is the type of thing that changes people's perception of flowers, and in so many ways, you know, as an art form, artistic expression, and as a, like a legitimate part of agriculture, and you're bringing them together in this almost like this metaphor. This house is a metaphor for what everyone's trying to build in saving American grown flowers and in connecting their customers, if you're a designer, to nature and to the beauty that we know we all appreciate. So I just am thrilled to meet you. I can't wait to meet you in person, and hopefully I can come visit during the May kickoff. I don't know if that'll work or not, but it's going to be open to the public so people can come if they're interested and meet you in person and see the houses, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Do you have those dates yet, Lisa?
The May dates will be that first weekend of May. I think
okay.
That's the first, second, and third.
Second, right,
yep.
Okay.
And then October, I think we're looking mid-October, 15th, 16th, 17th. I'm not looking at a calendar. So.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, October 16th, 17th, 18th is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, that's great. Well, I'm hoping to sneak over to Detroit on that May 2nd if I can swing it. And I am so thrilled for you, and I hope that people who are listening to this, either on the who are flower farmers or who are florists or who are in the industry in some way, reach out to you and offer their support, because everyone is going to benefit from this phenomenal project.
And, you know, that is something that I didn't think about when I started, dreaming about this crazy idea. Now I know you, and just the network, the people I get to meet because I get to have this conversation.
That's great.
So heartening. It's so exciting.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and thanks so much for sharing what's inside your head now is out there in the universe, and I know it's going to inspire a lot of people.
Thank you for helping me get it out there.
Okay, take care. Thanks
okay,
so much.
Bye, Deborah.
Take
thank
care.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I feel like I've been saying this week after week, but today's conversations with Kathleen and Lisa are so truly encouraging. This is the year of the American grown flower. Please join efforts like the Field to Vase Dinner Tour and Detroit's Flower House to get in on the excitement. Both projects are community focused with the potential for engaging huge numbers of people. By exposing lovers of local food and floral design to the immense creativity that comes from sourcing our flowers locally, in season, and from American farms, we are deepening that conversation, connecting people with their flowers in a visceral way. All the senses are stimulated, as well as our imaginations. You can learn more about these projects and follow links to that information at deborahprinzing.com. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Slow Flowers Podcast. Each week I share with you our download count, and we have hit 35,000 downloads to date. I'm encouraged to know more people are learning about the farmers and florists who keep American-grown flowers flourishing week after week. So I thank you. If you like what you hear, please consider logging on to iTunes and posting a listener review. The Slow Flowers Podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holtgertz. You can learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.